Going to be talking about healthy in, healthy out. You've heard it said, garbage in, it just makes sense, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that that's true? Garbage in, garbage out. Do you believe that's true? It is true 100%, isn't it? Garbage in, garbage out.
Sometimes you keep the garbage.
Sometimes you, eventually you regurgitate it though. All right, just stay with it. All right? Just healthy in, healthy out. It's easy to believe garbage in, garbage out, but we don't want to think about the concept of healthy in, healthy out, because that means that I've got to decide to be healthy. I've got to decide to only put healthy things in my body. What we take into our bodies determines everything about our lives. Think about that. What we take into our bodies determines everything about our lives. What we eat determines our energy levels. It determines our body mass. It determines our immune system. It determines if we do the wrong thing for a long period of time, there are linked diseases to that. We need to realize that it isn't just food that's coming into our bodies that determines our health, but it is also information that comes into our lives. There's information that comes into our bodies through all five senses all the time. Not only do we taste, but there's also touch. There's also sight. There's also sound, and there's smell. These senses are all at work at all times in our lives, and we choose what is input into those senses for the most part. We choose where we go. We choose what we do. We choose who we do it with. We choose who we listen to. So we make a lot of the choice of what comes in through these senses all the time. If I could give you a prescription today that would positively make you much healthier, stronger, and more spiritually equipped over the next year and improve your relationships, would you be interested in that? There you go. Let's go to lunch. That's it. We do. That's what we give every Sunday, isn't it? Well, here's a prescription. To intentionally decide every day to allow healthy in to your senses. Intentionally decide. If you don't intentionally decide, what's going to happen? Accidents. Anybody ever seen an accident? Nobody intended to have the accident. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called an accident. We should be called it an intendant, I guess, if someone intended to do that. Accidents happen, and bad things happen from accidents. Good things only happen intentionally. Good things only happen because we stopped and said, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes bad things happen because of that. Poor choices. Poor decisions, creative thoughts that weren't thought all the way through. But intention is the only way possible that something good can happen. Bad things don't happen from accidents. When you wake up to get yourself into the habit of saying, good morning, Father, I intend today to only allow health to come into my life. It's a choice. If you get up and you're like, oh, good Lord, I don't feel good. You have accidentally set off the rest of your day. Anything good that comes to you is not intentional. It's because someone else intended it, that is. It's not because you just accidentally fell into something good. What I let into my mouth, I'm going to choose health. I'm going to choose good. What I let into my ears, who I let to speak to me, what I listen to, who I let to influence me, I choose it to be health today. What I let into my eyes, I choose it to be healthy and fulfilling and good. The environment that I choose to go into today, I choose a good environment, a healthy environment that will feed me that will make me better. These are daily choices, moments by moment, daily choices that we have to make. And what if we, as a church family, all of us said, okay, Father, this is what we're headed to this year. We choose health in. Health out is what's going to happen. Good things are going to come from us. One day Jesus was teaching and he said this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's he saying? He's saying what you let into your eyes affects your entire being. What you let in, what you decide to see. In other words, you can see too much of this world and not enough of what God wants you to see. We naturally change our behavior and our lives based on what comes into our senses. When something bad is coming into our senses, what do? We change the direction that we're headed. But wise people change based on what they know, even before they sense it. Wisdom is making a change in my life based on what I know to be true, as opposed to just waiting to sense it. When you decide that you're going to go out this morning, and when you decided that, did you just walk outside and feel if it was cold, or did you look on your phone at the weather app to see if it was cold? You see, oftentimes we walk out and go, oh, I need to go back in and get my coat. But sometimes, if you're like Emma Grace, she's Mrs. Weather Girl in our house. She always knows what the weather's going to be. She could probably do a great job being a weather girl. She understands how everything happens. She blows me away. She's probably looked this morning on her phone at the app, the weather app, to know what the temperature is going to be to make sure that she dressed properly. Well, you can wait for the consequences. In the same way, you can wait for the consequences of sin to start hitting your senses. When we do something wrong, it starts hitting our senses. You ever been there? And then we go back and put our coat on. We go back and change. We go back and do something different. Or you can decide, I know what sin is. I know what's going to destroy me. And so therefore, before I go out into this situation, I'm going to be prepared for that situation. Some people don't make the connection, though. It's cold. Somebody should change this and don't go put their coat on. We just stay in it and we get angry. We get frustrated. We don't take responsibility. It's cold. Why is this happening to me? It's cold. I walked out here in a short sleeve shirt and it's cold. Why is God doing this to me? And sometimes that's how we react when we find ourselves in a sinful situation. The negative stuff starts happening. The consequences start happening. And we're like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening? Why are they doing this to me? They tempted me. This is not right. You've all heard the saying, he ain't got sense to come out of the rain, haven't you? What are they saying? Even though the pain of the rain is there, they're not coming out of the rain. They're not even putting up an umbrella. And some people, some of us, don't have sense to stop sinning. Amen? Amen. Okay, let me put it another way. All of us don't have sense to stop sinning. And we need God's help. Even though the pain of sin is there and it starts coming in through our senses, we don't change. And we've got to change. 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 Aren't you tired of the consequences of sin? Come on, folks. Aren't you tired of the consequences of sin? Intentionally saying, I'm only going to let health in. When I overeat, I feel horrible. I waddle. My stomach gets bloated. Now, I can blame it on Angela for being such a great cook. I can blame it on her and tell her how horrible it is that she's such an amazing cook. But do I really want her to dumb it down? No. You see, God gave us all the things of our that our flesh loves with boundaries. God gave us food. Isn't that wonderful? God gave us things to enjoy. He gave us things to see. He gave us things to taste. He gave us things to smell. I love good smells. I hate bad smells. I run from bad smells. Amen. Either that or I'll get some Lysol and prefer that smell over the bad smell. He gave us things to feel. He gave us things to hear that's beautiful. Music. He gave us birds. If there's no music, we can go out and at least listen to them. But He also gave us boundaries with all of those things. He gave us ways to experience those things, but to experience them the right way. And that's all He's asking us to do. We've got to begin thinking in terms of healthy in, healthy out. That's what this year is going to be about. Healthy in, healthy out. Set your sights on good environments to be in. Healthy in. Decide at the beginning of the day or the beginning of the week where you're going to end up, where you're going to be, so that you don't accidentally end up somewhere. Decide where you're going to be. Decide that you're going to be in church.
Amen.
It's a healthy environment. Decide that you're going to be in a small group. Decide that you're going to go to lunch with somebody that's encouraging, that's helpful, that's not going to be a part of temptation in your life. Decide it. Decide to do good things. Be more intentional with what you put into your body. God gave us chocolate. Isn't that wonderful? He gave us chocolate to enjoy, but just a little. Paquito, right? Just a little. God gave us bread to enjoy, but not too much. Angela and I have date night on Wednesdays, and we love Texas Roadhouse. Thank you for the gift cards to Texas Roadhouse. You guys are awesome. The dinner rolls. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ugh, I just flung a craving on you, didn't I? The cinnamon butter that they have? Oh. So when we go out to eat, I was eating 4 of those dinner rolls each time we'd go out to eat, plus my meal. Gluttony. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I would get up, and I'd be bloated. I'd hurt so bad. It was just pushing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'd waddle out to the car, and she always wants to go to Marshall's or something afterwards, and I'd drop her off. I can hardly breathe. I'd see her just walk right in. I'd go over and park the car and get out of the car, and I'd go waddling in. It's horrible. And you could tell she was just feeling good, and I had overeaten. It was bad. I went for a couple of months, probably closer to 3 months, that every night, like July, August, and September, that I was eating popcorn and M&M's every night. It was bad. Okay? I don't know what I was trying to comfort, but boy, was it comforting. It was good. Well, a couple of months, I realized this was a problem a couple of months ago. It had been proverbially raining in my life for a while. I was feeling the effects of it. And I didn't have the sense to come out of the rain. But one day, it clicked. I need to come out of the rain. I need to stop. I'm destroying myself. I don't even feel good. This is horrible. Waddling everywhere I go is horrible. I was ignoring it. I had to take responsibility for me. I found that instead of eating 4 rolls, I could eat 1 roll. How about that? I found out that I could actually just chew on some chocolate, and I know this sounds gross, but I could go over and spit it out, and I'd still have the great effect. It tasted wonderful. It was pretty personal, wasn't it? Sorry. Yeah, you should see me in Texas Roadhouse now. I'll chew on some bread and actually have a wad over there. The waddle. You don't want to see the waddle. I found out that I could eat popcorn without all the butter and salt. Yeah, I know. But I found out that your taste gets used to it. And I could eat it without the M&Ms. And within a couple of months, I lost 20 pounds. Isn't that amazing? Man, there's no clap for that. Wow. Okay. I worked hard for it. Here's what I found. My metabolism works. Your body works. Healthy in works. I still get to enjoy life. I still get to enjoy food. I still get to enjoy chocolate. Be keto. At the right levels. I get to enjoy bread, but instead of living to eat, I eat to live. And it's the same thing with every area of our life, all of our senses, whether it's sex or whether it's money, our senses crave it. Everybody say, oh yeah. We crave it. Our bodies crave it. Our senses crave it. This is stuff that our body says, I need more of, I need more of, I need more of, and it's constantly trying to get us to feed it. Reality is, any kind of sex outside of the boundaries of marriage between a husband and wife will bring pain in our lives. That's the bottom line. Anything outside of that boundary is going to bring pain into our lives. It will bring dinner roll pleasure for a moment, but waddle and roll pain afterwards. Emotional pain, relational pain, social pain even. And you have to determine that in your sex life, we will receive only healthy in. Amen? Amen? Who we receive from and who we give ourselves to is intentional. It doesn't just happen. And if it's an accidental situation, then you put yourself in that because you didn't intentionally decide. This is between. Y'all with me? I'm preaching to the choir here, I hope. As to money, reality is there are only two problems that we can have with money. Spending more than we're receiving. The inflow and outflow aren't matching. That's one problem. And the other one is not giving enough away to keep me from being a hoarder or indulgent. If I'm not doing those two things right, that's when we get into problems with our money. Healthy in, healthy out. I've got to choose where the healthy out goes. Good environments to be in, healthy in, that's what we've got to choose, all right? Secondly, set your sights on creating a good environment for others. That's healthy out. Set your sights on creating a good environment for others. That's your intention to be a person that has healthy out because of the healthy in. What kind of person you are affects other people. If you're not healthy, by choice, you're affecting other people in your life negatively, and they are suffering at your hand. If you're not healthy, by choice, your spouse is having to take care of you more than they should have to take care of you, aren't they? But when you're healthy, not only do you have to make not only do they not have to make sacrifices for you because you're healthy, it's better than that. You become a blessing to them. When you're healthy, you get to be a blessing to other people. You get to be there for them. You get to encourage them. And good things happen because you've intended to be healthy in your life. You create a healthy home. Creating an environment of health for your family, for you, for your children, for your grandchildren eventually if you don't have them. You're creating also a healthy church. You're creating a great environment for people to come and find health in their lives. Your ability to volunteer. If you're not able to volunteer, you can't be here. If you're not able to be here, that is, you can't volunteer, right? Creating health in your life, creating giving, through love, and through sharing your gifts and through talents. You get to do that in our church because you've created a healthy environment. It's a beautiful thing. Healthy in, healthy out. Are you creating a healthy environment for God inside of you? Does God feel like this is a healthy environment? That's a great question. Are you creating a great environment for God to live inside of you? Have you ever considered that God also has senses? He created us in His image, and He made us like Him in some respects. And God has senses. And when you read throughout Scripture, you understand He has this. He has sight. He has hearing. He touches. He feels. All right? So here's a concept. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. This is something that He sees or hears or feels. It says, haughty eyes. God cannot stand a prideful look. You know what look I'm talking about, don't you? Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. God cannot stand to listen to a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. He can't stand to see that. But the Scripture also talks about Him being able to hear the blood of the innocent person crying out from within the earth where it came from, that He can hear it crying out to Him for injustice or for justice to happen. He can't stand a heart that devises wicked things, feet that are quick to rush to evil. These are things God can't stand. A false witness who pours out lies, and He can't stand a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Or a person that stirs up conflict in the family at Christmas. Anybody experience that? When a person has garbage in and garbage out life, God's senses are tuned into those bad deeds. Scripture talks about God's hearing. It talks about God hearing the cries of even the Israelites coming up to Him when they were praying and asking Him for deliverance from their slavery. Don't you know that every person that's ever been enslaved on planet Earth, when they cry and they cry out to God, God hears it? It's a great concept for us to understand. God hears that, and we're accountable for how we treat those people. God's senses are also tuned in. This is important. God's senses are also tuned in to the good things we do for one another. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, He said, whenever you take a cup of water to somebody who's thirsty or food to somebody who's hungry, I notice you did it for Me. He said, if you ever help somebody that's sick, I notice you did it for Me. You ever go visit somebody in prison, I notice you did it for Me. He takes note of anything that we do because we're healthy in, healthy out. He pays attention. But healthy out is only possible if there's healthy in. Here's what we need to know. Some food feeds your soul. Some food feeds your flesh. If all you feed is your flesh is going to drive you wherever it wants to go. But if you feed your soul will drive you where you need to go. You see the difference? In Relate, we teach that most likely the soul and the flesh connect at the prefrontal cortex, where your cognizant thinking is. So the point is, you've got to decide to feed your soul. You got to decide what is good for your soul to eat today. Our van has two engines. It's got an electric engine and a gas engine. Isn't that cool? We get to choose which engine we feed. We have to plug it in. If we plug it in, the van will go 34 miles on strictly electricity. And we don't use a drop of gas. So if all we do is drive around town, we can drive for months without putting any gas in our van. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Just drive into Frisco and back, drive to Walmart and back, if that's all we do. No gas. We just feed the electric. Feeding your flesh is kind of the same as putting gas in a vehicle like this. The point is, the gas engine is nothing more than a generator to charge the electric engine. So if we put gas in the van, the gas engine will actually be able to take us way farther than the 34 miles. But if all we do is put the electric in, it only can go 34 miles. If we do the gas, it'll not only just take us 34 miles, but then beyond that, the world is open to us. And feeding our flesh is like only feeding the 34 miles. We just get used to it. Well, it gets us where we go, and it's convenient. We don't have to spend any more. There's not an extra thought to it. We get used to only going 34 miles in our life, and 34 miles is the boundary. But when we put the right gas into our soul, it can take us so much farther. You can go so much farther in life. If you feed your soul, it takes you everywhere you want to go, as opposed to the limitations that are there. When you begin to feed your soul, suddenly the whole world begins to open up. You thought you were living. You thought you had a good marriage. You thought that you had peace. But wait a second. That's just a limited amount. God wants you to go so much farther. He wants your marriage to be so much better. He wants you to enjoy life more. He wants your peace to be so much more. He wants your finances to be so much more. Your health, your job, your children, your purpose in life becomes so much bigger when you feed your soul as opposed to just feeding your flesh. One day, Jesus stopped at a well outside of Samaria, and while his disciples went into town, he was like, yeah, go get me a burger too, that's fine. So they went into town to get some burgers, and while he was there, a Samaritan woman came out to draw some water from the well, and Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan woman said to him, well, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, how can you ask me for a drink? Because Jews and Samaritans didn't communicate with each other. They weren't supposed to. Socially, Jews were the elites. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, boy, that's a loaded statement, isn't it? You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus went on to say, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He's talking about the well water. He's talking about for the flesh, feeding the flesh. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again, the soul. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What is he saying? This water will become a spring. What does a spring do? Flows from within. He's saying, if you will drink the living water for your soul, it will also take care of your body. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He's like, oh, she's not getting it. I'm not talking about this well. I'm talking about the well. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she said. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true. Jesus was saying, you've been working so hard to feed your flesh, giving yourself to man after man after man, and the guy that you're with is not even willing to invite you to be his wife. You're feeding your electric engine. You're feeding that one little engine that's only taking you 34 miles. And I want you to feed the real engine, your soul, and it will take you so much farther. Life-giving fuel that will take you farther than you could ever imagine. Jesus then told her that he's the Messiah. And she's like, what? She knew that the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. And what's interesting is the Jews didn't get this. Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. The Messiah wasn't coming just for the Jews. He was coming for the whole world. She understood that concept. She said, salvation will come through the Jews. He says, well, I am the Messiah. She believed. She left her jar that she was filling up. She ran into town and she told everybody about this experience she just had with Jesus. But before she left, the disciples came back and then they were like, oh my goodness, he's over there talking to this Samaritan woman. What is wrong with this? But they dared not ask him about it. They understood. He has his purpose. He has his reason. We don't get it. All right, we're going to trust him. So after she was gone, they walked up to him and was like, hey, Jesus, here's your Whopper and fries. And Jesus said this. He said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? What is he saying here? We don't get it. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Healthy in, healthy out. Feed the soul. Your flesh will be taken care of. And here's what's beautiful. James David, would you come? Jesus invited them to do the same work that he's been doing. And that invitation is here for you and me today. To begin to let the water of life fill your soul. And it will become a spring for your body even. It's beautiful. Begin to let the water of life come in. And I declare today that chains of addiction will fall off. Bondage, fall off. Better health. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let the spring begin to come into your soul. Living water, better relationships, better marriage, better health, better finances, your purpose in life coming to pass. Healthy in, healthy out. Healthy in, healthy out. Healthy in, healthy out. No more garbage. In Jesus' name, no more garbage. Haven't we tried enough garbage? Haven't we eaten enough garbage? Haven't we taken it in enough garbage into our ears? You've heard stuff when you were a kid that your parents said that they never should have said, and they play like tapes over in your head. It's time to let that out. Get it out. Take out the garbage. As Colette said, don't let it fester. Don't let it stay there. Let it out. Something your ex said, let it go. In Jesus' name, let healthy come in. The garbage is useless. Get it in your soul today. From this day forward, I'm a child of the living God. Healthy in, healthy out is my future. This is where I'm headed. I'm going to set up for myself healthy environments that I can be a part of, that I can grow and be good. And I'm going to create healthy environments for everyone else. When somebody invites me to lunch, it's going to be healthy out of me into their life, encouraging them, blessing them, being somebody that they can count on, being somebody that can work through a situation with them. Healthy out. But it only happens if I'm healthy myself. Healthy in. This is the formula that God has given us to do what he's called us to do. Would you bow your heads? You know what you've been letting into your flesh that's not healthy. You know what you've been using. And God says, I want to help you. I want to help you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to make you feel bad for doing that. I'm here to say there's another way. There's water for your soul. You've been using water and it's just quenching your thirst at the moment. I want to give you life-giving water that springs from within you, that gives you the encouragement and the strength to change your life. We don't want anymore to just have our senses filled with consequences for our sin and then we change our lives. We know the truth. God, give us the ability to change our lives based on truth today. To only let health in. Your word, that worship may come out. Good things in Jesus' name. Come on, talk to him about it. I'm not talking about a resolution. I'm talking about change. Change. Moderation. Enjoying the good things. Father, we commit ourselves to you. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a God, the God, our Father. Heal our souls, make us well, so much that even our body experiences healing. Health, strength, changed in Jesus' name. Make us strong. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Lord, there are some here that are committing to themselves and to you specific things that they're going to stop. Put in their mind right now what they should start instead of just stopping. To start doing something that's healthy, something that's good. Give them the wisdom and now give them the self-control to do it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.